Well, we are on our first point of this passage, Ezekiel 36, verses 22 to 36. And this is a great glimpse into a God who intervenes for us. If you look at verses 22 to 24, we see something contextually. See, we see that God is about to act. He says, "Not for your sake, O Israel, but for the sake of my holy name." And so this message of God acting has this sort of air of, well, I'm going to do these things. I would like for you to be involved in them, but I'm going to accomplish them whether you are involved or not. And the reason for that is for the vindication and the defense of God's great name, verse 22. And so he's presenting both of these two concepts, the fact that he is about to act out of compassion, but he's also acting in response to defiance. He's sort of intervening to make things right for his people and for his name. And I think we may hear that. And a lot of times, especially if you're maybe not a Christian, you think that, whoa, isn't this sort of selfish of God? Like, he's acting for the interest of his name. What about my name? What about what I need to do? And if we think about it logically, it's certainly not selfish or self-seeking for God to do this. It's actually kind for God to seek his purposes instead of ours. God's interest should be our interest, and his desire should be our desires. We don't get the final say in the plan of our life, and I think the reason is because a lot of times we'll mess things up. And if you think about your life and just anecdotally, you know, we can all think of a time where we made a plan and we had all the strategies to execute that plan and do it well. And then God sort of changed the plan and did a 180 in the last minute. And with the benefit of hindsight of that, it turned out way better than it would have been if we would have planned it. And so I think just a practical application here, what should we do in the Christian life? Well, we should position ourselves under the acting of God. We should position ourselves under the movement of God. And I think that is one of the reasons that he has given us the Spirit to discern where he's working, how we can be involved, asking the Spirit for help in leading and making decisions and giving us the gift of logic and discernment. But these first couple of verses also give a glimpse into the context of why does God have to intervene? Why does he have to act? Well, Israel was guilty of both blood spill and idolatry. He compared Israel to their sister Sodom, which is certainly not a compliment. And so I think it's important for us to know that God didn't pour his wrath out on Israel just for fun, but it was in defense, to vindicate his name, his holiness among the nations. It's like that God had to act in a greater, more glorious way to the nations because Israel has defiled his name among the nations. And so God had to vindicate his name. And here's the beauty of it. By the Spirit, by God's miraculous work, we benefit from the vindication of his name, because in the end, God's name will remain and not ours. And so the vindication of God's name benefits us. If he is our king, the people go as the king goes. The king's victories are the people's victories. And so we can let this be a great and glorious truth for us, that we serve a God. The God of the Bible is a God who intervenes. He is a God who acts. He is a God who arranges history for his perfect, glorious purposes. And so you may feel far off. You may be sinning in need of grace and forgiveness. You may be thirsty in need of living water. Just know that this is a God who acts. This is a God who draws people back to himself, to be his people through kindness. So we can be assured that each and every day, moment by moment, God is acting anew. He's doing continuously new things in our lives. And in our hearts, through his Spirit, he's bringing us to himself through faith and repentance.